Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Congressman Bob Good is with us this morning, and you know he is facing a primary challenge in the Republican Party, and you know, depending on how that goes, he will be potentially up for re-election after his first term in Congress this fall. So we're beginning our conversations with people who will be on the ballot here. And Congressman Good, I appreciate you coming on. Do you have a reaction to that? What I was talking about with the vaccines, I mean, since some of this is national policy from the CDC, how do you view it, and what role the Congress should or should not have related to the CDC here?
Good morning, John. Great
Good
to
morning.
Be with you. Thanks for having me again.
Yes, sir.
I did not hear what you were saying before you asked me that question. So,
I was talking about the push to make it possible to vaccinate young children as young as 5 years old, and the fact that I think we're going to have the federal government advocating that seems pretty aggressive to me, especially at this stage of the pandemic. I would question whether it's wise to do that. I just wondered if that's, I mean, there are probably 20 different topics that you have to cover when you do your town halls and everything, but I didn't know if you had a reaction to that.
I would say that while there are so many who are invested in what the government has done to us in the last 2 years, the truth coming out will take time and it'll be difficult. But I believe history will judge us harshly for the decisions that the government has made over these last 2 years with the pandemic, especially the way we have treated everyone the same. We've treated college students like senior citizens. We've treated children like those with multiple comorbidity factors, children, young people who are at almost no risk to vaccinate them, I think is an egregious travesty. I think it's horrible the way this administration has tried to push the vaccine down to younger and younger ages. They're at almost no risk. They're literally at more risk riding to school on the bus or being driven to school or walking to school, however they get there, than they are from getting the vaccine. That has been proven out over these last 2 years. I've been bold in speaking against that for 2 years, that these mitigation efforts made almost no difference, whether it was masks or whether it was testing healthy people. Stop testing healthy people to find out if they're carrying a virus that is not making them sick, and for which then their viral loads are so low they really can't transmit it anyway. But to vaccinate children, I think, is just a terrible thing to do, to inject them with a, you know, I was at an event a couple of months back where Dr. Ben Carson said it's the most dangerous vaccine in history. I'm not saying it's the most dangerous vaccine. I'm not qualified to say that. I read and study on it just like most of you and most of your listeners do, of course. But I think it's terrible that we're vaccinating children, young people, let alone forcing anyone to get a vaccine, let alone forcing anyone to disclose whether or not they've gotten a vaccine.
Right, right. I saw a story yesterday that I flagged to talk about at some point here on the show, that there's legislation that's been introduced in Congress by a Republican, one of your colleagues, I assume, who wants to allow people in the military who were kicked out because they didn't take the vaccine to come back in to the military. And I think it's outrageous that we purged people over this type of circumstance. Do you think that if Republicans get control of the House of Representatives in D.C. after this fall's election, that there will be some way to right the wrongs, the very clear wrongs that have taken place under Democrat rule the last couple of years?
Again, incredible, John, that we would force anybody to get the vaccine. Healthcare workers who kept us safe and treated people during the virus. You know, after we were a year in, when we finally had the vaccine, everybody had been exposed multiple times over. It was available to everybody who wanted or needed it. Education was out there for folks to make that risk assessment, which is how they should have done it with their healthcare provider. But instead, to force it on the military and then to discharge them. John, I had Marines and other service members calling me up, begging me for help. Is there anything I could do as a legislator to stop the executive branch from doing this? And incredibly, there are some Republicans, or supposed Republicans, frankly, like my Republican opponent, frankly, has said that he is in favor of the vaccine mandate for the military. But yes, there is legislation that myself and others in the Republican side have signed on to that would restore those who've been egregiously discharged and would restore to them the lost benefits and the standing that they had before they were discharged. It's unbelievable. At a time when we need our military to be strong, we need to honor those and do everything we can to take care of those who are keeping us safe and have kept us safe historically, how awful that we would discharge them from the military because they didn't take a vaccine that they, most of them are healthy 20, 30-something-year-olds, of course. That's who's in the military. They've been exposed multiple times over. But it is incredible, John. This administration told our military that the greatest threats to the country are climate and racism in the military. So it's no wonder they would discharge members of the military for something like not getting a COVID vaccine.
Yeah. So you bring up your opponent. His name is Dan Moy. At some point here, we will speak to him on the air, too. And I'd welcome the opportunity, if you're interested in having both of you on the air, to talk through things at some point before the primary. What's your assessment of how these discussions are going? I'm not seeing a lot of stories in the mainstream press about the two of you battling it out, but what is the campaign like right now? How would you describe it?
Well, we are excited, John, about the new 5th District. We lost, sadly, seven counties that we'd invested in, seven counties and cities from the previous or the current 5th District, but in the new political district anyway, what's on the ballot in November, we've gained eight cities and counties, six of those nearer you on the eastern side, Powhatan, Amelia, Nottoway, Louisa, Goochlin, and part of Hanover. And we've received tremendous support from the new counties. And as you may know, we're having a convention on May 21, and we have overwhelmingly received the majority of the support from the delegates who've registered, overwhelmingly, so strong that my team says I can't say what the percentage is because we need everybody to show up and to vote. So we expect to have a convincing, resounding victory on May 21, and we're very thankful for the faith and trust that people of the 5th District placed in us in November of 2020, and we hope to earn that again in May of 21 here next month, 3 weeks from Saturday, and then also to prevail in the general election.
Now, I don't want to do the bidding of the Democrats, but I think there's just no way around the questions that you or your opponent are going to get hit with about this January 6th stuff. Do you have a reaction in advance to what they're going to say? I mean, I don't know where you were on January 6th. I don't know if that's going to do with it, whether they go after every Republican candidate and say, where were you on January 6th? What did you say on January 6th? What do you think?
I'm not the least concerned about anything the media or my Democrat opponent will bring up. You know, I stand behind everything I've done in my first nearly year and a half since being sworn in. And, you know, I don't get asked about January 6th in the 5th District ever. I only get asked about it by media in the Capitol here and occasionally in an interview. But, you know, so I suspect the Dems will try. They look at everything through a COVID lens, a racist lens. You know, COVID forever, January 6th forever. Everything's racist. Everything's climate. And so they'll probably try to bring January 6th up. But I think the American people have already made their minds on that. I doubt that I'll get asked about it by anyone substantively or anyone that's considering whether or not to vote for me anyway, but I'm prepared for that question or any other question that somebody wants to ask me.
What's the closing argument for you to say, hey, send me back to D.C.? Is it to join in a coalition with other Republicans and let's take back the House, or is there anything specific that you're going to, I hate to use the word, make a promise to the people of the 5th District, but what's your argument here? for you to go?
Well, I would say, first off, John, I have done what I said I would do. I ran as a conservative. I ran as a biblical and a constitutional conservative, unashamedly so. We're going to make Virginia's 5th district bright red again. This is how I'll vote. This is the things I'll focus on. I said I was going to focus on the border and our border security, and I've done that. I said I was going to focus on combating the federal government's intrusive role in education and the harmful things that are being done in our education systems. I've done that. I said I was going to fight against the reckless federal spending. I've done that on the Budget Committee, and I'm also on the Ed and Labor Committee. So I have done what I said I would do in terms of how I voted, the legislation that I proposed. We've sponsored 30 bills in our first 15 months here, we think is more than any freshman. Most of those are the areas that I described. We've done an outstanding job with constituent services. We've resolved over 2,000 cases for members, constituents in the 5th District. We've helped them recover nearly $8 million that was owed to them by their federal government. My colleagues who've been here in the House longer than I, they said they've never seen a freshman office that has done that much work. We focused on our veterans. I've done over 30 veteran events, veteran initiatives in my first 15 months here as well. And, John, it's not just about the fact that I believe the American people are going to give us the majority in November, just like the Virginians gave us the control of the statewide offices in the General Assembly, at least the House of Delegates back in November. But, John, the key thing here is it wasn't really because of what we have done in either case. It was because the Democrats have been so horrible that the American people are so, and Virginians are so, just horrified by the policies of the Democrats, and the veil has been lifted. People know this is who they are. They are the party of high inflation and reckless spending and open borders. They're the party of crime. They're the party of defunding the police. They're the party of a war on American energy. This is who they're the party of COVID mandates and vaccine mandates and forcing masks on our kids and not letting our kids go to school. This is who they are, John. But just for us to be not who the Democrats are is not enough. And it's the conservatives who will lead in cutting the spending, in securing the border, who will unleash American energy independence. That's the things we will do in the House if conservatives like myself are elected, and that we will validate the trust the American people will place in us, hopefully, in November, if there's true conservatives that are elected. That's why the primaries are so important, who we nominate, who we allow to wear the brand.
Well, listen, that got you animated. That's a great list. I appreciate it. Congressman Bob Good, thank you for coming on the air. I hope we'll talk again as we head towards that May date. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.